try now to go back to case number 6, which is Alexander versus Chicago Reform.
My apologies, Your Honor. My phone went off. I thought I had turned it off.
Yeah. Mr. Tarki, I thought you were trying to track down your opponent.
No, no,
she was calling in to say she'd be here momentarily.
There are some situations which you might not be able to argue if your phone went off.
Well, I understand, Your Honor. I understand that very well. May it please the Court, my name is George Ponticus. I'm here on behalf of Dr. Essex Alexander. We have set forth our argument in our brief. The facts here are simply that Dr. Alexander had filed his complaint charging age discrimination. There was extensive discovery. There was then a motion for summary judgment. The plaintiff, unfortunately, was not able to file a response, but did file thereafter a motion to vacate a protective order with regard to Paul Vallis and additional time to respond after his deposition was taken. The motions apparently, although we have appended them to the appendix, showing that they were filed stamped, never showed up in the docket, and the judge apparently was not aware of them, so therefore were not ruled upon. We would recite, based upon the facts that had been developed up to the point of where the motion for summary judgment was filed, that we were not in a position to respond to the motion without the deposition of Paul Vallis. We set our reasons forth in the argument in our brief as to why we wanted the deposition, how we felt that it would give us information that would permit us to respond. We have taken the position that it was an abuse of discretion for the court not to have ruled on it, even if it was a situation where he was not aware of it, and although it was filed. So under those circumstances, and based upon the argument that we have in our brief, we would ask specifically that the court reverse the summary judgment motion and remand for the district court below to give us an opportunity to have the deposition of Paul Vallis taken. The record in this case did reveal that Dr. Alexander had applied for a number of principalships, that he had applied for the principalship at the Cook County Department of Corrections Alternative School, that he was the finalist and the first choice of the Cook County Department of Corrections Alternative School, that none of the finalists were chosen. All of these were issues that were directly in the purview of Paul Vallis. The protective order had been originally granted on the grounds that Mr. Vallis, who was the chief administrator of the school board, did not have any information or knowledge with regard to the matters that were set forth. The depositions that were taken demonstrate that he did, and he had a considerable amount of knowledge. As a result, it is our position that he should have had an opportunity to depose Mr. Vallis, and we therefore ask the court to reverse the judgment of the court below and grant Dr. Alexander the opportunity to do so. Thank you, Your Honors.
Ms. Lauer?
I apologize for keeping you waiting. I miscalculated the amount of time the previous arguments would take.
Well, we finally found somebody to fill in. So.
Sorry. Your Honor, counsel, may it please the court, Leanne Lauder on behalf of the Chicago Board of Education. We're here because of plaintiff's counsel's failure to prosecute this case. Although the district court granted several extensions of the discovery cutoff date, the plaintiff didn't take any depositions of the board's employees until 2 weeks after the fourth and final discovery deadline. 6 months after discovery closed, plaintiff decided that Paul Vallis was a key witness to his case. So he moved to vacate the protective order that had been entered to prevent Ballas's deposition. Plaintiff's belief that Ballas was a key witness came from his own knowledge. It was from his discussions that he's had with Paul Ballas. It didn't come from discovery, so it's perplexing why he didn't know that Ballas was a key witness until 6 months after discovery closed. If plaintiff was so key, why didn't he seek to depose him? If Ballas was so key, why did plaintiff not seek to depose him during the 4 times discovery was extended previously? Or why did he wait 6 months after the discovery deadline to decide that Ballas was a key witness? Even more to the point, why didn't he oppose the protective order when it was entered? He made no objection to the entry of the protective order. And finally, why didn't he respond to the board's offer to stipulate that Ballas had said what the plaintiff attributed to him? Plaintiff's only excuse for failing to prosecute his case is that he was busy with other cases. Because the district court was so indulgent in allowing all the extensions of discovery, the district court wasn't very sympathetic to plaintiff's request to extend the discovery deadline again. The Callis decision from this court demonstrates that the district court decision was not an abuse of discretion. And for that reason, we ask you to affirm the denial of the motion to vacate the protective order, to affirm the denial of the motion to extend the time to file a response to summary judgment, and to affirm summary judgment to the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel.
It pleases the court. We recognize the heavy burden we have here with regard to the posture of this case. However, given the circumstances that arose here with regard to Mr. Ballas and the fact that we weren't able to depose him, we think on balance that the plaintiff should have been given an opportunity before summary judgment was entered to have that opportunity.
Would you answer her question why you didn't seek to depose him before discovery closed or didn't depose?
We did. We had sent out, the record will reveal, we sent out a notice of discovery, and I wanted to address that very point, Justice Williams. We sent out a notice of deposition. The board then filed a protective order. Mm-hmm. It was not the case that we did not resist the protective order. We argued it orally before Judge Hibbler on the day of the motion. It was not the kind of situation where either party felt it was necessary to have a long, drawn-out, protracted schedule with regard to briefing or anything else on the issue. They had made certain representations in the protective order with regard to his lack of knowledge and cited the appropriate authority. We resisted it on the morning it was presented. The judge granted it. So under those circumstances, we did, in fact, make the attempt. We did file a notice of deposition, and it was in response to the notice that the motion for protective order was filed. We then stand on our brief, and we thank Your Honors for your interest and time.
Next counsel, the case will be taken under advisement. The next case.